Hi again, listeners, and welcome to the latest podcast here on ProvisionerOnline.com. I'm Andy Hanasek, Editor-in-Chief of the National Provisioner, and I'm here with Tom Egan once again from PMMI. And Tom is taking some of his high-quality, very important time to spend with us and discuss some packaging innovation in the meat industry. Tom, thanks so much, as always, for joining us.
Great. Thanks very much, Andy.
So, Tom, you're here today. We're going to talk a little bit about the emergence of innovative meat packaging for consumers, and that's a pretty broad topic, but it's definitely timely in that we have seen, and you know, you and I talked kind of off the recording here, off the podcast, about some of the cool new trends that are kind of really hitting meat packaging. What are one or two of those trends that you think are really driving innovation in meat packaging at the moment, you know, or at least, you know, sitting in the pole position, I guess. Innovation happens, but what are the two, one or two, that are really driving it as far as your perception goes?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. In our previous podcast, I think we talked about the idea of portions, and that is not portion control, but portions for the particular type of event that you're having. And that is a continuing area, and we're seeing more and more of the products being able to put into a tray format so that you can take off one or two, or in a sealed package so that you can take one, two, or three, depending upon the size. I think the two that I'd like to just kick on today are both the increasing amount of convenience and then these new approaches or ideas to try and make the package itself more sustainable. So in the, for example, in the convenience area, there's been just this push to make it so that the consumer does not need to even touch the product before they have it in a prep state to get into the oven or the microwave. You're taking it right from the package that you brought home from the retailer, and now perhaps it's to put a slit in the top of the bag, or it's to remove an outer bag in order to expose an inner bag and pop it into the oven. The convenience portion there is very, very strong. I also picked up, in fact, your group reported and others have about a Mintel study where they looked at and interviewed women that were purchasing meat, and they were looking at elements of resealability, at the individual portions, which we touched on, and then one more, which I think goes right to the convenience. 23% of those interviewed said that they would like and would request to have some sort of recipe information right with the meat portion that they've purchased. Kind of a neat idea, taking it one step farther so that your consumer walking into their store, into their kitchen, is able to go right into a prep state. So you've already perhaps seasoned the meat, and now you're making it so that the recipe, perhaps for a side dish or for whatever else you're doing. Those are some pretty big convenience elements there.
Definitely, and as our listeners and readers know from, you know, if they even pay attention to what I say, I'm not a woman. I wouldn't be part of that Mintel study, but I do a lot of the cooking in my house and almost all of the grocery shopping, and I've seen those recipes on some packages, and it's really convenient from my perspective too. So I absolutely love that as a consumer myself. And you know, to hit upon the convenience things that you're talking about, there's several products out there that, you know, actually perform really well as a microwavable meat product or an ovenable meat product, and I've been really impressed with what the industry is doing. So I'm with you on that, definitely.
And I think the other part that we don't think about so much is that with the recipe on the package itself, when you're shopping, especially if there's a side dish on that or there's a preparation of the product itself, you know the ingredients that you need to pick up if you don't have them at home. So it's, again, that element of helping the consumer use your product in the most effective manner and to have it presented in the most flavorful manner, if you will, at for the presentation of the meal with whoever they're holding the meal with. I think that's a pretty good addition to the marketplace, if you will, and to the packaging space for the product itself.
Absolutely, and it's good to see the industry responding to what they've kind of lamented, I guess, over the many years, and that is, you know, this generation of folks, this generation of people just doesn't know how to cook, and really, you know, doesn't know enough about the meat cuts and how to prepare them and how to cook with them. And many people are scared of cooking with certain cuts of meat, or any cuts of meat for that matter. So it's great to see that, and it's great to see the industry responding. So yeah, I can completely associate with that as being kind of the driver. But there was also sustainability continues to crop up, correct, Tom? What are you seeing out in the sustainability world in terms of innovation from a meat packaging perspective?
It does. I'm seeing and reading about a number of the meat producers that are now actually going into the packaging material and working on the layers of packaging material in order to allow a higher content of the package itself to be recycled. So, for example, there on some of the trays, there's a peel-off layer that is allowing the freshness of the product. Perhaps it's an oxygen scavenging, or it's a sealing material at the bottom of the tray. But you can now remove that and use a paperboard tray in order to carry the meat, make sure that none of the juices escape. It's not one that you see that everyone is providing, but there have been a couple different instances where that's been shown in the marketplace. The other one that I felt was interesting from a sustainable perspective is actually this idea of the paperboard wrap on the material, on the product itself, on the meat itself, so that at when the consumer is looking at it, you referenced it a minute ago with regard to the different cuts of meat, the paperboard is carrying a pretty good graphical image of what the meat should look like when it's done the cooking cycle. So now you have something to judge by what, hey, that looks like it would be very nice and presentable on the plate. It looks like something that I would be interested in eating. Yet with it being on the paperboard, you can remove the sleeve and then toss the sleeve and have that easily recyclable. I think those elements where you're looking at the sustainable aspects of the product itself, especially as it relates to being sure that you consume all of the product. We know the widely announced and widely referenced statistics about the high percentages of food waste. So the most important thing, and we've referenced this in our previous podcast, is to make the product that work all the way through, is to have the packaging protect and make the product work successfully all the way through the supply chain so that it gets to the consumer in a fashion and in a portion that's ready for the consumer to utilize. With the worst thing we can do, as we've said before, is to have a product that's unsaleable because the packaging did not support it all the way through the supply chain.
I almost feel, Tom, as though you are shopping at my Costco here in Chicagoland, because there is one product out there that it's a pot roast pot product that Costco sells that has the tray and it's you know, ovenable, and then it has that cardboard sleeve around it. It's almost as though you're talking about exactly that product, and it is such a great product from my perspective as a consumer. So that's amazing. I felt like I needed to mention that. It's an amazing product that kind of hits on all of those things. But so
we've talked before about the whole idea of packaging making the presentation of the product so important. You want not only the meat to stay red, to look fresh, and to be fresher. The protection of the meat is the ultimate driver for what you're doing in the packaging, the protection of the product that the consumer will utilize and protect it all the way through the supply chain. At the same time, you absolutely want that element of I'm attracted to look at how that product could be used by me. And so that idea of the wrap that shows what the finished product looks like, you know, I kind of like that idea. That looks pretty nice to me.
Absolutely. And with the way printing is nowadays, with the higher and higher resolution and better photography in this world, it makes no sense not to go that route. And, you know, obviously there's a cost to it, I'm sure, but, you know, if you want people to understand what it is you're trying to sell them, that makes complete sense. So,
right.
Yeah, I get it. So, with all this innovation ramping up in recent times in packaging in general, in terms of the meat and poultry industry, from your perspective, have you seen it ramping up more so in those industries in particular? And if so, what do you think has kind of held it back a little bit in the past, or made it be such a commodity type of a marketplace on the meat and poultry side?
Yeah, I don't know if we would say, or I would go so far as a commodity, Andy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other has been the idea of, well, we get our standard chicken, a whole chicken, a chicken breast, a leg, or we get our three different cuts of meat, and then we get the ground meat. So now you're looking at these more the more varied parts of the meat, the shank, and what you're able to do with it and how you might prepare it. And so I it could have been a driver where there has been a push when things were tighter with the economy, where there were more at-home meals, and the person responsible for doing the preparation is looking at that and saying, hey, I need both that convenience that we started with, and I need some variety. Tell me about what else I could have that could be interesting to make a meal for. So I don't know that it's these explosion of these new ideas as much as you're seeing the new ideas presented in such a fashion to a receptive consumer base. And as we've said on many of these podcasts, we as consumers, what we want, when we want, and in the portion and the size that we want it. And so that element of going back and saying, hey, there's going to be a couple different formats. I'm going to get the meat product that's already been flavored because, again, it's one less step for me. I think those are central elements that are increasing the variety of packaging that we see now for the product, and then also the drive, as we've discussed, for the consumer to say, hey, that looks doable. I'd like to try that.
Well, Tom, thanks. I want to keep this brief. I know you and I could talk forever and ever about every topic we do. Yeah, and we have, exactly, we have before. So I want to keep it brief. Thanks for your time, as always. Listeners, PMMI.org is the website to go and look at. The PMMI has all kinds of conferences and workshops and webinars coming up, and it's never too early, I would say, to think about PAC Expo in November here in Chicago. So you can get to the PAC Expo website that way. I assume it's PACExpo.com, Tom?
Good, easy place to start, and then we have all the different shows in the family of the PAC Expo trade shows, so you can determine which one is for you, and based both upon the timing and what you're looking to go for, all the different exhibitors, and some of those great solutions, those finished products like we've talked about. So thank you for that, and I hope we get to see many of the listeners at one of the upcoming PAC Expo trade shows.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much, and have a great day. And listeners, thanks for tuning in.